They are coming for the church. Police are all around. They won't let us go outside. Y'all, these KKK are marching with torches. These are the words that our beloved National Minister for Justice and Witness in the United Church of Christ, Reverend Tracy Blackman, posted on Facebook on Friday night from inside a historically black church in Charlottesville, Virginia. She was inside a counter-protest worship service against the, quote, Unite the Right march happening outside, where white nationalists, white supremacists, neo-Nazis from across the country gathered this weekend, many armed to rally their power. On Friday night, their chants included, "You will not replace us," and "The Jews will not replace us." Those worshiping with Reverend Dr. Tracy were encouraged to stay inside the church or leave out the back doors for fear of the violence from the rally of mostly white men with torches, many armed outside the church. They had no idea then of the violence that would escalate among the white supremacists on Saturday. Violence that, by the way, was not met with the police presence anything like what Reverend Dr. Tracy said she saw when she was in Ferguson. They had no idea that a car would accelerate into a crowd of counter-protesters, killing one, 32-year-old Heather Hare, and injuring over 30. An incident, by the way, still not being called domestic terrorism. They had no idea that the person charged with leadership of our country would call on them equally with those white supremacists to stop the hate and unite, as though fighting for your own survival against centuries of racism is the moral equivalent of being the Ku Klux Klan. My friends, this horror is the water in the eye of the storm in our scripture story today. We've been told this story, many of us, as a story about Jesus's power. But just like the text we studied last week, the one about the multiplication of loaves and fish, making this story about Jesus alone cheapens it. It is an insult to Jesus and an insult to all of us who seek to follow in his way to make it just about him. A little history lesson on large bodies of water and storms in the Bible. They're not just a natural phenomenon, but a symbol of all that opposes God's creative, life-sustaining, wholeness-making, justice-building work in the world. In the Hebrew Bible, we see this over and over again, from the story of creation over against the chaos of the oceans, to the flood Noah faces in the global storm, to the Exodus story where the Red Sea blocks the way of the people out of slavery until it is moved. These waters and storms tell a story of the ways of evil wrestling with God's presence that demands justice, demands freedom, demands fierce love. Today, these forces of evil look like the scenes in Charlottesville. This is the sea with waves battering in a storm. This is the scene onto which Jesus walks. But I, like Peter and the disciples in the boat, far away watching, I am in the boat that is the modern equivalent, watching from the news watching from the safety of my couch and my phone, scrolling through Facebook. I felt sick to my stomach. Fear and anger and disgust, all gurgling in my belly as I watched. Like those disciples, I too saw a ghost. I saw the ghosts of centuries of terrorism against people of color and non-Christian peoples in our country. I saw the ghosts of slavery, of lynchings, of Jim Crow, of anti-Semitism, of violent policing, of jail cells, of all the ways white supremacy has found to live into today so we don't see it so clearly and we normalize it. I saw the ghosts of what has happened in our own beloved state of Minnesota, not just Virginia, in the last few years. Of cars that have rammed into protesters here, of white supremacist shooters at Black Lives Matter rallies here. These ghosts crowded out the images of Jesus, of love incarnate walking through the storm. I felt haunted all day. I couldn't see Jesus. I couldn't see the holy in the midst of the horror. Jesus, in our scripture story, realized that his students, his disciples, couldn't see him either. And he said to them, "Take heart. Take courage. It is I." What he said next is usually translated as, "Do not be afraid." But when you look at the original Greek, like I, as a nerd, do, he's actually saying something a little bit different. The full sentence is, "Take courage, it is I, not fear. It is I, not fear, coming across the waters." He's not chastising the fear of his followers. He's saying, "What you see out there is also me, love incarnate, not just the fearful waves of fury. Look harder, feel more intensely, pay attention." And I did. Let me tell you where I saw Jesus walking on the furious waters this weekend. I watched a series of live stream videos, again from the comfort of my boat, my couch, from clergy friends and colleagues counter-protesting on the ground in Charlottesville this weekend. On Saturday morning, before the race riots broke loose, let's call them what they are, they prayed together and sang together. They didn't get to flee to a mountaintop like Jesus in our scripture, but they barricaded themselves inside that same historically Black church that was surrounded by the modern Klan the night before. The church was packed with Black and brown and white clergy and people of all faiths. And together they sang, "Over my head, I hear freedom in the air. Over my head, I hear freedom in the air. Over my head, I feel freedom in the air. There must be a God somewhere." Over and over they sang. For 10 minutes they sang that same verse until they believed it in their bones, until they could give their heart to it, until they were ready to walk on water together. They walk down the streets of Charlottesville together across so many lines of difference, in robes, in stoles, in Jewish prayer shawls, in hijab, in prayer coverings, arm in arm. They prayed and they sang together as a scene of violent chaos erupted around them, like waves battering a boat in a storm. People yelled in their faces, openly carried their guns, held signs of hate, and yet they kept singing and praying and walking. They walked on top of the waters of hate, the waves of fury, the storm of fear. They said through their prayers, just like Jesus, come. Get out of the boat of your safety. Walk out here with us. My friends, we are Peter and the disciples now. I am so beyond proud to say that we have been paying attention to these waters of hate, these waters of white supremacy masquerading as Christianity for some time now as a church together. We have studied the new Jim Crow, dear white Christians, the cross and the lynching tree. We have stood at too many vigils, frankly, and too many protests with our Muslim and Jewish and POCI, people of color and indigenous neighbors, as they have endured hatred. A majority of our membership immerse themselves in the national UCC curriculum on white privilege. My friends, we have stepped out of the boat, but we still have a long way to go to walk on water. Let me speak in I statements. I have a long way to go to walk on water. White supremacy is like an onion. So many layers that are so painful to look at. There's the most obvious version that carries torches. But the system benefits all of us white folks. Unless we are actively reprogramming ourselves, retraining ourselves to see white supremacy in our day-to-day lives, working in our communities, to dismantle the original sins of white supremacy of our country as they live on in us and systemically. We are getting back in the boat, letting the waves carry us away. I'm not saying we have to be invincible. I'm not saying we have to be in or on the water every moment of the day, every day of the week. It's Sabbath summer here at Lyndale. They prayed before they went out to walk. It's okay to be like Peter and notice the strong winds too. It's okay to get scared and overwhelmed too. If we are paying attention, we will get scared. We will, like Peter, feel ourselves sinking into the waves of despair beneath the surface sometimes. And though we might have a different language for it, we too will cry out for somebody to make it stop, to save us from the waking nightmare. Our scripture tells us Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught Peter in his fear. And I am reminded of the 16th century mystic, Teresa of Avila, who taught us, Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are Christ's body. Christ has no body but yours. Beloveds, we are the hands that must reach out to each other, catch each other, hold each other, sing with each other, pray with each other through the storms we are now enduring. We are Christ's hands. Together, we are called to keep getting out of the boat, keep moving towards the love incarnate that is coming towards us across the waters of fear and hatred. To walk on the waters of love and justice incarnate in the world is our call too. Amen.